Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our first lesson from Acts chapter 4. Well, here are some headlines that may be found today. Nigeria on Easter. Boko Haram attacks and police confirmed 29 killed, 84 injured. In Nepal, the government criminalizes Christian conversions and evangelism. And in China, this past week, China tells Christians to replace pictures of Jesus with the communist president. Why? Well, people are relying too much on Jesus, they are saying, instead of the government, which takes care of them. Turkey. This too, this past week. Turkey wants to keep an American pastor behind bars for life. Why? They are accusing him of espionage and a coup attempt. But basically, it's a way of stopping evangelism. Now, it used to be ridiculous to hear such things that, you know, we hear about these kinds of things. You see it in the paper and magazines. You know, we never heard about these kinds of things happening in other countries before. And it was only in the Bible that you would read about such things. I mean, Jesus said these kinds of things would happen. But here we're thinking, well, that's not going to happen in our lifetime. And here it is. But this is what's going on. And the question is, why? Well, we can take a look at our first lesson in the book of Acts here to kind of give us a good answer for why those kinds of things have been happening over the years and why they're happening today. We begin. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. Well, the scene is like many. Christians are living in the world, and what? While it doesn't have to be very many of them, well, they're doing something. And what exactly are they doing? They are talking. Nothing out of the ordinary, but they are speaking about something in particular. And what does Scripture say when they hear about it? Well, they are greatly annoyed. They're upset, hacked off, any number of ways of saying it. But basically they're saying here is that they are greatly annoyed because they are teaching the people and proclaiming Jesus and the resurrection of the dead. Now think about it. The Sadducees, they're upset about this. Why? Because they're coming out, they're wanting to go home for supper there, they want to go eat, and here they've got Peter and John proclaiming the resurrection of the dead. Now the Sadducees, okay, they did not believe in the resurrection of the dead, so they want to make sure that everybody who proclaims this kind of thing is going to, well, get arrested. Something that happens fairly often in China these days and other places. And why do people take issue with it? Well, there's one really kind of root problem here. Who will be in control over the people? Okay? That's why they want the pictures replaced there. Because the government's supposed to be taking care of the people. So they say there in China. But what we're having here is a spiritual battle. Paul talked about that. He talks about how we're not fighting here against flesh and blood, but rather the spiritual forces in the world, the authorities in spiritual realms. And now while these spiritual realms here, well, we're talking about these spiritual battles are between the evil one and God, well, the battles are being played out in flesh and blood. People's lives, perhaps even your own life. Now we look again at our lesson here. It's Peter and John whom they are arresting, and why? Well, recall last week, okay? Peter and John are walking in the temple. That time of day for prayer there, so they're going into the temple. And what did we have there as we were looking at our lesson last week? There's this lame man, lame from birth, okay? So he's there begging for anybody coming in hoping to get something. And so he calls out to Peter and John. And what did they do? They turned and looked at the guy and said, hey, gold and silver we don't have, but in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you what we do have. Rise. And so what happened? Here the lame man is now jumping around, leaping around. People are stunned. Because they've seen this guy out there for years. He's been begging. So now they're all excited. They want to hear about it. So they get upset. And so as we're hearing all this kind of things, the people here are listening. And many of those who heard the word believed. And the number of the men came to about 5,000. Amazing. But the Sadducees and the rulers are upset. Why? Because they are leaving them. They're not going to be listening to them. And so on the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name do you do this?" Well, the elders, they wanted answers. They wanted to know why these miracles were happening. They wanted to know what, you know, the people are talking about. Why are the people leaving them and going over to, say, somebody like Peter and John? Well, given the opportunity to talk, Peter is more than happy to oblige. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So what did Peter do in all of that? He shared the gospel. He did not direct the attention to himself, but rather he pointed it to whom? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's the one. The one you guys killed. You know, remember you got him on the cross there? The one who died, but who also rose from the grave alive. He is the one by whose authority we have power then to raise somebody, to sit there and have somebody be healed. Okay? He reminds them of scripture passages. Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. That's the foundation of faith, the cornerstone of our faith, on which all other things are built. It's Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And that truth is the source of their annoyance. It's a source of annoyance for many today. And as a result, Christians around the world, well, they're being persecuted for their beliefs. It's even happening more in our own country. You think about it here, it's all about Jesus Christ and having our attention directed to him. You see, Islam does not point anybody to Jesus. Hinduism does not point to Jesus. Nor does Buddhism. Nor does Judaism. No other world religion points us and our attention to Jesus Christ. They say there are other ways, namely works, that gets one to be saved. Being a good person. And that, too, is becoming more common in these United States. People are thinking that if I am good, well, then God's going to let me into his house. Trouble is that our works are like filthy rags before God. Paul said that about it. There is no good deed done by anyone that will merit forgiveness of sins and entrance into heaven. Salvation is not found in Jim or Bill or Sarah or Muhammad or Buddha. Salvation is found in Jesus Christ of Nazareth and him alone. And people don't like hearing that. Sometimes we don't like hearing that. Even though we have faith, we like to marginalize our sins. Now, what I mean by that is that we say to ourselves, "Well, I'm not that bad." Particularly when I compare myself to maybe somebody else in the pew, right? I'm not as bad as they are. They may not know it that I'm better. People think that. And it's particularly if you're going to point to our neighbors next door. It's like, "Well, I'm certainly better than them. You know, if I do better, God will be pleased with me. If I sin less than my neighbor, then God will be happy with that. And, well, I don't have to be so faithful in worship, you know, going every Sunday because, well, I deserve a break. God will give me that break." Well, knowing all these things, we are still sinners. We are enemies of God. And our response is not to say, "What else can I do?" Rather, our response needs to be what we have already done this morning, that we confess our sins. We come before the Lord asking and seeking his forgiveness. And we give glory to God for sending Jesus, who earned the forgiveness of those sins. In turn, then, with saving faith, well, we need to put that faith into action. Just like Peter and John. we need to tell others about Jesus. And sometimes telling others means that, well, they're going to get annoyed, maybe even greatly annoyed. But what happens when people listen and when the Holy Spirit works through the words of Jesus, words of Scripture, that you are sharing with someone else? Well, that person may come to faith. They may come to faith and understand and know that Jesus is the one true Savior. You see, just like it says there in our first lesson, it is God who adds to His church. It is God who increases that number. You see, Jesus won the spiritual victory over sin, death, and the devil. Your faith in Jesus Christ of Nazareth ensures that you who have that faith, enjoying the fruits of that victory for all eternity. But until that day, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, when He comes back to take all of us to be with Him, until that day, we have work to do. Okay? We continue to tell others about Jesus. And sometimes we are free to do so. Sometimes we're hauled off to jail. And sometimes we may even perish because of that faith. But all the while, the victory that Jesus won is still ours, and that can never be taken away. And that's the truth. It was true yesterday, it's true today, and it'll be true tomorrow. For you see, salvation is found in no one else. Jesus said it about Himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. That's the one whom we have faith in. That's why we're here this day, giving thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us rise.